the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Well, if you've been at Belmont for any of 2015, actually, you'll have realised that we are going through the Gospel of Matthew this year. And you know what? I went to have a look at a thing called a concordance, which is a list of words in the Bible. They're very handy things. And I looked to see where the biggest number of references to harvest were in the New Testament. And guess where they were? They're in the Gospel of Matthew. That's rather appropriate, isn't it? I like that. That was a good thing to discover. And when we look at the references, actually throughout the whole of the New Testament, it's really interesting. It's never about, or hardly ever about, in the New Testament, about the sunflowers, about the wheat and the marrows and all the things we normally associate with harvest festivals. If you look at the Old Testament, it's entirely the opposite. Virtually every reference to harvest in the Old Testament is to the actual physical crops that are brought in. And that's why I really wanted to make sure that we got that into our service this morning, to talk about the physical things that are harvested and that we need to eat. But when we come to the New Testament, it's interesting that Jesus and the apostles use the image of harvest to talk about other things. And what I'd like us to do this morning is just look at two things in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus talks about harvest, but actually he's not talking about sunflowers specifically. He's talking about other stuff. Okay, so shall we open our Bibles together? If you have the green Bible in front of you, it's on page 926 that we want to be looking. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is the parable that Sarah has already reminded us about this morning, the parable of the sower. We have our lovely artwork there, produce a crop. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, the superabundant harvest that comes from the soil that's planted, the seed that's planted in the good soil. That's the parable, the famous parable of Matthew 13. But I want to look at another one. It's the one that comes after it, the parable of the weeds. And if you're not sure what a parable is, it's just a story, basically. Just a story that Jesus tells that's about everyday stuff, but that actually has a significance that has to do with spiritual stuff. So let's have a look at verse 24 of Matthew chapter 13. Jesus told them, and he's talking to a whole load of people. He's actually preaching from a boat, and he talks about farming. That's what he does. Jesus told them another parable after the parable of the sower. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. And the owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. And the servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest.'" That is our word, until the harvest. "And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burnt, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Okay, we've actually looked at that parable as part of our teaching this term, but it won't harm us to look at it again. If the parable seems a bit odd to you, we can help by looking at a picture. Wheat and a type of weed that is called a tare or bearded darnel, they look incredibly similar. And it was a problem in the ancient world. There were actually laws against people going to sow this crop in wheat fields. It was a genuine problem. And they did it because they wanted to wreck the wheat harvest. You can see how similar the two things look. And that's why in this story that Jesus tells, there was the problem. The servants saw the tares coming up, and they just about spotted that they were growing, and they said, well, shall we get rid of them? Because they're going to wreck the harvest, because tares have a really bitter, unpleasant taste. Not like wheat that we make bread and flour and cakes from. Bitter, unpleasant, slightly poisonous. You don't want that in your harvest. But there's another problem. That is the roots of the things. They grow together. They intertwine with each other. And so Jesus, in the story, imagines the owner saying, no, don't pull up the weeds yet, because if you do, because the roots are so intertwined, you might end up pulling the wheat with it, and then it'll all be ruined. No, wait until the harvest, and then when everything's cut, we can easily distinguish between the two. Okay. So that's the story that Jesus is telling to this farming community that he's speaking to. What does it mean? What's it about? Well, do you know what? Normally, when Jesus tells one of his little stories, one of his parables, he doesn't tell us what it means. He wants us to think about it. Jesus wants us to be asking questions about the significance of the teaching, the words that he brings us. But on this occasion, and with the parable of the sower in the same chapter, it's like the message is so important that he doesn't want us to miss what it's about. And so he gives us the explanation. Shall we just look a few verses forward? Verse 36 of this chapter. It's the next page, page 97. He left the crowd. He's been in the boat, remember, preaching to a big crowd, and he goes into the house. So he's going from a public space to a private space to speak to his special disciples, his close friends. And his disciples came to him and they said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And he answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. And when Jesus uses that title, he's talking about himself. So he's saying, in this story, I am the one who is sowing the good seed. The field where I sow it is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom, of God's kingdom. Okay? The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest, well, that's the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man, Jesus himself, will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. That means pay attention. Pay attention. Lovely picture at the end there of shining like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. We thought about sunflowers turning towards the sun. Jesus says, a day is coming when if you know and love me, you'll shine like the sun as well. Well, there's so much that could be said about that parable. I just want to focus on that one phrase, the harvest is the end of the age. I nearly was going to quote the verse that Derek quoted at the beginning of the service, the verse that comes from the story of Noah, where God says, as long as there's seed time and harvest, day and night, winter and summer, I will not do away with the world. I will keep my promise to not flood the world again. As long as the world endures, the cycles will keep on going. But actually, in this parable, Jesus says that cycle, and we're in that cycle at the moment, aren't we? It's the start of a kind of a new year for many of us. Mark has said the agricultural year keeps on going, but the academic year, the school year, the church year, it's kind of starting afresh, isn't it? And we kind of have that sense that our life is a cycle, keeps on going. But actually, Jesus says this present age, this life that we live, actually there is an end point. The harvest is the end of the age. God started human history, and God will bring human history to its conclusion. And Jesus tells us this story because he says, he's saying there is a day coming when the cycle won't go on. The harvest will take place. And he says, I want you to be in the right place when the harvest comes. Did you notice that there were two endings to the story? There was a barn ending and there was a burn ending. There was a safety ending and there was a destruction ending. And Jesus tells us this story because he wants our story, the story of our lives, to end in the barn. He loves us. He came to earth to die for us, to rise again for us. He ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God, as we've been singing this morning, and he's coming back, as Sarah reminded us earlier, because he loves us and because he wants us to be in his barn with him for all eternity. How do we get to be in Jesus' barn? How do we get to avoid the burn alternative that he talks about? Well, the answer's here. I'm going to do something I shouldn't really do. I'm going to vandalize one of these sunflowers. I'm sorry. This is tiny. This is a tiny, tiny seed. And what this story is saying to us is Jesus wants our life to be like this. Jesus is inviting us to say, Lord, take my life and plant it so that it grows for you. Lord, my life, as I sometimes think of it, is not the life that you want me to have. Lord, I'm sorry for the times when my life has been all about me. I want my life to be focused on you, and I want you to take that small thing, that little bit of faith that I'm bringing to you, and please plant it in your good soil. Please water it and tend it and feed it so that it grows and grows and grows and becomes an abundant harvest for you. Lord, you can do that in my life and bring all of the good things that you produce in my life into your barn. Lord, will you do that? That's what Jesus' story is really about this morning. I wonder if that's a prayer that you've ever prayed. If it isn't a prayer that you've ever prayed, then you could pray it today. You could pray it today. Or at least you could pray that God will help you on that journey towards the point where you can pray it and mean it and want it. And at the end of this service, there will be a prayer team at the back of the hall, and they would love to pray with you about any of the things that might have touched you as God has spoken to you this morning through his word. If we have prayed the prayer, if we have prayed something like that, then what do we do about it? Well, let's have a look at one final bit of the Gospel of Matthew. Can you just turn back a few pages? Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and it's the end of the chapter, page 922. It's verse 35, just to the end of the chapter. One more harvest challenge that the Lord has for us, okay? Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds again, he had compassion on them because they were harassed, they were helpless, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, those who'd followed him, those who'd pledged their lives to follow him, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We've heard this morning, haven't we, about the needs that are in this world. It's just fantastic to hear from the three women who either have been or are going or keep going to South Africa, a needy, needy place, about how God is using them and the projects that they're associated with to meet a need in that particular harvest field. Isn't it great what God is doing? But there is so much need. There is so much need outside the walls of this building and inside the walls of this building. So much need. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest field. What's the answer to Jesus' prayer? The answer is us. The answer is us. If we know Jesus, if we love Jesus, if we're committed to following Jesus, we need to follow the Lord of the harvest into the harvest field. Today, as Derek's mentioned, is the end of the summer of prayer. We're going to keep on praying, but it's the end of the summer of prayer when we've just been asking God to speak to us individually and collectively as a congregation. I wonder what God has been saying to you this summer. I wonder what the voice of Jesus has been speaking to you this summer. Jesus' challenge to us, if we know him and love him, is to go into his harvest field, to have compassion and do stuff and pray wherever we see harassed, helpless people. I wonder what God has in store for you and for me off the back of his speaking to us this summer. I think that's one of the challenges for us this harvest. Challenge number one, if we don't know Jesus as our Lord, is just that prayer. Lord, take my life, plant it, nurture it, and let it grow into something beautiful for you. And challenge number two is, Lord, we've given you our lives. Do something with them. Make them multiply. Make the harvest be 30, 60, 100, 500, 1,000 times what you sowed in our lives. God, do it, we pray.